The Arabian Nights, the 21st night. The following night, Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "For God's sake, sister, if you're not sleepy, tell us one of your lovely little tales to while away the night." Shahrazad replied, "With the greatest pleasure. I heard, O King, that the king walked to the center of the palace and looked around, but saw no one. The palace was furnished with silk carpets and leather mats and hung with drapes. There were also settees, benches and seats with cushions, as well as cupboards. In the middle there stood a spacious courtyard, surrounded by four adjoining recessed courts facing each other. In the center stood a fountain, on top of which crouched four lions in red gold, spouting water from their mouths in droplets that looked like gems and pearls, and about the fountain singing birds fluttered under a high net to prevent them from flying away. When the king saw all this, without seeing anyone, he was astonished and regretted that he found none to give him any information. He sat pensively by one of the recessed courts when he heard sad moans and lamentations, and the following plaintive verses. My soul is torn between peril and toil. O life, dispatch me with one mighty blow. Lover, neither a bankrupt nor a nobleman, humbled by love's law, do you pity show. Even from the breeze I jealously use to guard you, but at the blow of fate the eyes blind go. When, as he pulls to shoot, the bowstring breaks, what can the bowman facing his foes do? And when the foes begin to congregate, how can he then escape his cruel fate? When the king heard the lamentation and the verses, he rose and moved toward the source of the voice, until he came to a doorway behind a curtain. And when he lifted the curtain, he saw at the upper end of the room a young man sitting on a chair that rose about 20 inches above the floor. He was a handsome young man with a full figure, clear voice, radiant brow, bright face, downy beard and ruddy cheeks, graced with a mole like a speck of amber, just as the poet describes it. Here is a slender youth whose hair and face all mortals envelop with light or gloom. Mark on his cheek the mark of charm and grace, a dark spot on a red anemone. The king greeted the seated young man, pleased to see him. The young man wore a long-sleeved robe of Egyptian silk with gold embroidery, and on his head he wore an Egyptian conical head covering, but his face showed signs of grief and sorrow. When the king greeted him, the young man greeted him back courteously and said, "Pardon me, sir, for not rising, for you deserve even a greater honour." The king replied, "Young man, you are pardoned. I myself am your guest, having come to you on a serious mission. Pray, tell me the story behind the lake and the coloured fish, as well as this palace and the fact that you sit alone and mourn with no one to console you." When the young man heard this, his tears began to flow over his cheeks until they drenched his breast. Then he sang the following Mualiya verses. Say to the man whom life with arrows shot, how many men have felt the blows of fate? If you did sleep, the eyes of God have not. Who can say time is fair and life in constant state? Then he wept bitterly. The king was astonished and asked, "Young man, why do you cry?" The young man replied, "Sir, how can I refrain from crying in my present condition?" Then he lifted the skirt of his robe, and the king saw that while one half of the young man, from the navel to the head, was human flesh, the other half, from the navel to the feet, was black stone. But morning overcame Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then King Shahryar thought to himself, "This is an amazing story. I am willing to postpone her execution even for a month before having her put to death. While the king was thinking to himself, Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "Sister, what an entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I live, the Almighty God willing?" The 22nd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O king, that when the king saw the young man in this condition, he felt very sad and sorry for him, and said with a sigh, 'Young man, you have added one more worry to my worries. I came to look for an answer to the mystery of the fish in order to save them, but ended up looking for an answer to your case as well as the fish. There is no power and no strength save in God, the Almighty, the Magnificent. Hurry up, young man, and tell me your story.' The young man replied, 'Lend me your ears and your mind.' The king replied, 'My ears, my eyes, and my mind are ready.' And the young man began the tale of the Enchanted King. My story, and the story of the fish, is a strange and amazing one, which, if it could be engraved with needles at the corner of the eye, would be a lesson to those who would consider. My lord, my father was the king of this city, and his name was King Mahmud of the Black Islands. For these four hills were islands. He ruled for 70 years, and when he died, I succeeded him and married my cousin. She loved me very much so that if I was away from her even for a single day, she would refuse to eat and drink until I returned to her. In this way, we lived together for 5 years, until one day she went to the bath, and I ordered the cook to grill meat and prepare a sumptuous supper for her. Then I entered this palace, lay down in this very spot where you are sitting now, and ordered two maids to sit down, one at my head and one at my feet, to fan me. But I felt uneasy and could not go to sleep. While I lay with my eyes closed, breathing heavily, I heard the girl at my head say to the one at my feet, 'Oh, Masuda, what a pity for our poor master with our damned mistress and him so young.' The other one replied, 'What can one say? May God damn all treacherous, adulterous women. Alas, it is not right that such a young man like our master lives with this bitch who spends every night out.' Masuda added, 'Is our master stupid? When he wakes up at night, doesn't he find that she's not by his side?' The other replied, 'Alas, may God trip the bitch, our mistress. Does she leave our master with his wits about him? No, she places a sleeping potion in the last drink he takes, offers him the cup, and when he drinks it, he sleeps like a dead man. Then she leaves him and stays out till dawn. When she returns, she burns incense under his nose, and when he inhales it, he wakes up. What a pity!' My lord, when I heard the conversation between the two maids, I was extremely angry, and I could hardly wait for the night to come. When my wife returned from the bath, we had the meal served, but ate very little. Then we retired to my bed, and I pretended to drink the contents of the cup, which I poured out, and went to sleep. No sooner had I fallen on my side than my wife said, 'Go to sleep, and may you never rise again. By God, your sight disgusts me, and your company bores me.' Then she put on her clothes, perfumed herself with burning incense, and taking my sword, girded herself with it. Then she opened the door and walked out. My lord, I got up, but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, 'Oh, my lady, what an amazing and entertaining story.' Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night?" The 23rd night. The following night, Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "Please, sister, if you're not sleepy, tell us one of your lovely little tales." Shahrazad replied, "With the greatest pleasure." "It is related, O king, that the enchanted young man said to the king, 'Then I followed her, as she left the palace and traversed my city until she stood at the city gate. There she uttered words I could not understand, and the locks fell off, and the gate opened by itself. She went out, and I followed her until she slipped through the trash mounds and came to a hut built with palm leaves, leading to a domed structure built with sun-dried bricks. After she entered, I climbed to the top of the dome, and when I looked inside, I saw my wife standing before a decrepit black man, sitting on reed shavings and dressed in tatters. She kissed the ground before him, and he raised his head and said, 'Damn you! Why are you late? My black cousins were here. They played with a bat and ball, sang and drank brewed liquor. They had a good time, each with his own girlfriend, except for myself. For I refused even to drink with them because you were absent.' My wife replied, 'Oh, my lord and lover, don't you know that I am married to my cousin, who finds me most loathsome and detests me more than anyone else? Were it not for your sake, I would not have let the sun rise before reducing his city to rubble, a dwelling place for the bears and the foxes, where the owl hoots and the crow crows, and would have hurled its stones beyond Mount Kaf.' He replied, 'Damn you, you are lying. I swear, in the name of black chivalry, that as of tonight, if my cousins visit me and you fail to be present, I will never befriend you, lie down with you, or let my body touch yours. You cursed woman, you have been playing with me like a piece of marble, and I am subject to your whims, you cursed, rotten woman.' My lord, when I heard their conversation, the world started to turn black before my eyes, and I lost my senses. Then I heard my wife crying and imploring, 'Oh, my lover and my heart's desire, if you remain angry at me, whom else have I got? And if you turn me out, who will take me in? Oh, my lord, my lover and light of my eye.' She kept crying and begging until he was appeased. Then, feeling happy, she took off her outer garments and asked, 'My lord, have you anything for your little girl to eat?' The black man replied, 'Open the copper basin.' And when she lifted the lid, she found some leftover fried rat bones. After she ate them, he said to her, 'There is some brewed liquor left in that jug. You may drink it.' She drank the liquor and washed her hands and lay beside the black man on the reed shavings. Then she undressed and slipped under his tatters. I climbed down from the top of the dome and, entering through the door, grabbed the sword that my wife had brought with her and drew it, intending to kill both of them. I first struck the black man on the neck and thought that I had killed him. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, 'Sister, what an entertaining story.' Shahrazad replied, 'Tomorrow night I shall tell you something more entertaining, if I live.'" The 24th night. The following night, Dinarzad said to her sister, Shahrazad, "For God's sake, sister, if you are not sleepy, tell us one of your lovely little tales." Shahrazad replied, "With the greatest pleasure. I heard, O king, that the enchanted young man said to the king, 'My lord, I struck the black man on the neck, but failed to cut the two arteries. Instead, I only cut into the skin and flesh of the throat, and thought that I had killed him. He began to snort violently, and my wife pulled away from him. I retreated, put the sword back in its place, and went back to the city. I entered the palace and went to sleep in my bed till morning. When my wife arrived and I looked at her, I saw that she had cut her hair and put on a mourning dress. She said, 'Husband, don't reproach me for what I am doing, for I have received news that my mother has died, that my father was killed in the holy war, and that my two brothers have also lost their lives, one in battle, the other bitten by a snake. I have every reason to weep and mourn.' When I heard what she said, I did not reply except to say, 'I don't reproach you. Do as you wish.' She mourned for an entire year, weeping and wailing. When the year ended, she said to me, 'I want you to let me build inside the palace a mausoleum for me to use as a special place of mourning, and to call it the House of Sorrows.' I replied, 'Go ahead.' Then she gave the order, and a house of mourning was erected for her with a domed mausoleum and a tomb inside. Then, my lord, she moved the wounded black man to the mausoleum and placed him in the tomb. But although he was still alive from the day I cut his throat, he never spoke a word or was able to do her any good except to drink liquids. She visited him in the mausoleum every day, morning and evening, bringing with her beverages and broth, and she kept at it for an entire year, while I held my patience and left her to her own devices. One day, while she was unaware, I entered the mausoleum and found her crying and lamenting. 'When I see your distress, it pains me, as you see, and when I see you not, it pains me, as you see. Oh, speak to me, my life, my master, talk to me.' Then she sang, 'The day I have you is the day I crave. The day you leave me is the day I die. Were I to live in fear of promised death, I'd rather be with you than my life save.' Then she recited the following verses: 'If I had every blessing in the world, and all the kingdom of the Persian king, if I see not your person with my eyes, all this will not be worth an insect's wing.' When she stopped crying, I said to her, 'Wife, you have mourned and wept enough, and further tears are useless.' She replied, 'Husband, do not interfere with my mourning. If you interfere again, I will kill myself.' I kept quiet and left her alone, while she mourned, wept, and lamented for another year. One day, after the third year, feeling the strain of this drawn-out, heavy burden, something happened to trigger my anger, and when I returned, I found my wife in the mausoleum beside the tomb, saying, 'My lord, I have not had any word from you. For 3 years I have had no reply.' Then she recited the following verses: 'O tomb, O tomb, has he his beauties lost, or have you lost yourself, that radiant look? O tomb, neither a garden nor a star, the sun and moon at once how can you host?' These verses added anger to my anger, and I said to myself, 'Oh, how much longer shall I endure?' Then I burst out with the following verses: 'O tomb, O tomb, has he his blackness lost, or have you lost yourself, that filthy look? O tomb, neither a toilet nor a heap of dirt, charcoal and mud at once, how can you host?' When my wife heard me, she sprang up and said, 'Damn you, dirty dog! It was you who did this to me. wounded my beloved and tormented me by depriving me of his youth, while he's been lying here for 3 years, neither alive nor dead. I said to her, "You, dirtiest of whores and filthiest of all venal women who ever desired and copulated with black slaves, yes, it was I who did this to him." Then I grabbed my sword and drew it to strike her. But when she heard me and realized that I was determined to kill her, she laughed and said, "Get away, you dog! Alas, alas, what is done cannot be undone, nor will the dead come back to life. But God has delivered into my hand the one who did this to me, and set my heart ablaze with the fire of revenge." Then she stood up, uttered words I could not understand, and cried, "With my magic and cunning, be half man, half stone." "Sir, from that instant, I have been as you now see me, dejected and sad, helpless and sleepless, neither living with the living, nor dead among the dead." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what an amazing and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "Tomorrow night I shall tell you something more entertaining, if the king spares me and lets me live."